you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I love that part. Just let me be. God is just asking us, just let him be who he is for us. Don't struggle against it. Just let him be. I love that part. It's like complete surrender. Just let me be who I am for you. And the thing is that we got to know who he is to let him be, right? And so we just thank God that the more that we come and sit under the word, the more that we go to the word, the more we know our God. We know the character of our God. We know who he is. And once we know who he is, then we know he is a healer. Come on. We know he is a deliverer, right? We know he is a mind regulator, right? Because we've had experiences in our life that lets us know that when we've called on him, he is who he says he is. Just let him be. God said, just don't put yourself in it. Get yourself out of it, Linda, and just let him be who he is. I love that part. Let me be who I am. He don't want to be nothing else but God, all right? And I just thank God right now. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you that you are God. And you are God alone, God. And we thank you, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that whatever, just like you told Moses when he went back to the people and they were going to ask who it was that sent him, because I am that I am. Whatever you need, I am. Oh, God, help that to resonate in our spirits, God. Just not in theory, God, but that it would get into the very core of our being, God, that I am is with us. And wherever we're at and whatever we need, the great I am is available. He's able. He's able. He's able this morning to do whatever it is that we need in our lives. God, we thank you for every single person that is here this morning, God. And maybe we all walk out this morning in whatever that particular area is, God, that seems so big and looms so large. God, can we put the great I am on it today, God? And God, may we settle it in our spirit, God, that the battle's not ours, but it's yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We're going to dismiss our beautiful children. Amen. Thank God. You know, as you guys go back, look at, they've been doing a lot back in the back with our children for their rooms and setting it up, you guys. Make sure y'all give them a hand clap and as they've been painting and changing. And for our youth, we thank God. We can take any area, right? And God can help us to make it a place that we can worship. Amen. Look at all them kids. I just thank God for them. Every single one. Every single one. Thank God for them. Hey, Drew, I'm just looking at you because I'm so happy to see you this morning. Amen. Glad to see you here. Glad to see everybody here. But when people be like, why you be calling names out? You didn't call my name. Well, the thing is that if I haven't seen you in a minute, you know, I'd be at home and I'd be like, I haven't seen Pedro. Where's Pedro? And so then when I see him, I get really happy, all right? Do y'all just be looking around missing people? I do. So when I see y'all, I'll be just so happy to see each and every one of you guys. Just happy to see all y'all. Thank y'all for waving back at me. Okay. Happy to see everybody in the house. I'm so happy to see Mr. Dave here. Just y'all remember Mr. Dave? I'm so happy to see Mr. Dave. He's one of our just amazing friends at the Senior Center. And I want to call him Preacher Dave because every time we have our lesson, it's just an experience to hear him bring forth the Word of God and bring it out in such a way that we're always blessed. And I'm just so glad for him being here this morning. I'm really glad that God gave us the opportunity to minister in the senior center. It's something for me that, I mean, I know that I go there to teach, but they teach me. And I leave there every single time. I just feel so much enlarged. I feel so grateful. I feel like, Lord, you know, I'm going to keep on running on. And I just thank God for their experiences, because I keep telling you, there's places that we can go that will, if you're feeling down, go do something for somebody else. Okay, sometimes we want somebody to come do something for us, but when you're feeling down and you're feeling low, go do something for someone else, and it will just take you to a whole other level. And as you hear their experiences and you're sitting there and you're hearing their life stories, the things that they have went through, the things that they came through, the things that they're still standing on in God, you can't help but walk out of there and say, what a mighty God we serve. And this light affliction, have you ever been around somebody that makes your affliction seem light? Amen. This light affliction that I'm going through, it's working more for me, an internal glory. That's what God is saying. Because sometimes we're so focused on our afflictions that we forget, man, you know, somebody would want our affliction card. Somebody would want your card. You know, sometimes we think that thing that I'm going through is so very big. But when you start hearing other people's story, somebody would want your card. And when you hear somebody else's story, you'll say, I'll keep my card. Because there's things out there that God only puts on us what we can bear. Okay? But there's things out there that people are going through that, are, you know, you just look at it and you go, oh, my God. How are they going through that? And so I just thank God when I go, I always come out feeling stronger. And I'm so glad that God has people like Mr. Dave and just a whole group of people that they can lift up the name of Jesus in the senior home. You know, they can lift it up to all those people that are in there and tell their testimonies and tell them, because it could be a woe is me place. But no, they don't make it like that. They make it like, to God be the glory place. And I love that. That's what I want my story to be. To God be the glory. This morning, I want to do, I had a thought. And we've read this story so many times. But at home, I was listening to it again. And then this particular word just popped out at me. And I said, wait a minute. Okay. I had to go back and look at it. And so you know the story, well, I'm not going to assume that everyone knows the story, but the story of Peter when he walked on the water, okay? And so just a little background of that is that Jesus had told them to go ahead, and he had been teaching, and he told them to go ahead, and they get on this boat. And so when they get on the boat, they're on the boat there. And we're talking about fishermen that are used to being on the water. Okay, because I want y'all to really understand that these weren't just people that just went out on a swim maybe once a year. But these are fishermen that knew about the water. They're used to storms on the water. Okay, they're used to things happening on the water. So when they go out on the water, they're in the middle of this storm. And the storm comes up. And so the storm is a bad storm. And so when in the middle, not only are they having a storm, but they look up and they see somebody walking on the water. Not yet. Okay. I love, we have an illustration, get ready to go on. I will call your name. Okay. They see it, and can you imagine, it's funny because how this happens to me quite regularly. I'm screaming at my house. So you guys are wondering what's going on. Well, there's kind of like how I see you guys is kind of through like a blue, it's like a blue, I can't really explain it, but a blue haze. So there's like a blue hazy fog. But I can see you, but it's like a hazy fog. So it makes everything seem kind of a little foggy and blue. And so what it does, it kind of takes away colors, or it washes them out, it takes away colors. So like Pastor David, he can be, and he's already like that anyway, he could be 1 minute over here and then he's over there. It's like he does this disappearing act so much. And I'll see him right there and the next minute he's over there. But now since the haze is in my eyes, then it makes him more translucent, okay? And so like this morning, I'm standing at the desk, and he's over at his desk, you know, and then I'm looking down, and all of a sudden, I see this gray, hazy thing at my desk looking like a ghost. And I mean, it just looks like a form, but it's him, because his suit, see how it's gray like that? It doesn't look like gray. To my eyes, it looks like more like a translucent thing. So then when he goes over there, I look up, and I'm thinking he's over there. Y'all didn't hear me scream? So I screamed this morning. That was me in the office screaming. And I don't know why, you know what, I keep telling myself, why am I screaming? If it's an angel, I should be happy. But then, that's not necessarily true, because every time the angels came, right, they had to tell them not to be afraid, because, you know, we're not used to things just popping up, you know. And so I was thinking about them walking on, you know, seeing this walk on the water. You got this storm going on, and then you see, but you're thinking, you know, Jesus is back there where he said he was going to be, but you're not even thinking about Jesus walking on the water. Oh, you're not even thinking about anybody walking on the water. And so here comes, so now they are double kind of terror going on. And it says this one part that really got me. And this little part in this verse got me. But when the winds of adversity blow, fear may rise, but faith cries out. My question to us this morning, do we have enough faith to cry out when life starts sinking? Do we have enough faith to cry? Because in that story, when we look down, it's all how we look at a story. Sometimes we look at a story, we look more at, he went under. He went down, go, go, go. We look at that more than we look at what he did. And it hit me this first time, because, you know, I always think about, well, he went down, Jesus got him up. You know, Peter went down, but Jesus got him up. But then I thought about, he did something very important. In Matthew 14 and 30, it says this. Not yet, guys. Okay, not yet. Okay. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. We're going to keep on going. But when he saw. So right now, I'm going to ask Juan and Pastor, Deacon Juan and Pastor Sam. It's just because I like visual stuff, because visual stuff stays on my mind, okay? You can tell me something, but if I see it, it just stays with me, okay? So today, just a little visual, because this is not a grand production. This is just a Johnny on the Spot production here. So right now we have some water. Y'all see my water. I wish we could have had some waves and water this morning, but we got, y'all see that? Oh, there we go. See that water right there? That's how that's supposed to look. Let's pretend that's water. Okay, so, and y'all hear the wind. Now, we had a big horse fan that we used to have in here. Y'all would have known there was a storm up in here. But let's pretend that the horse fan's in here. Somebody, some of y'all add some sound for me. I need to ask, where's my girl Lehani?
Whoosh.
Come on, do your job.
Whoosh. Whoosh.
Oh, come on.
Whoosh.
That wind don't even scare me. Come on.
Whoosh. Whoosh. Whoosh.
Okay.
Whoosh. 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 Whoosh.
Okay. It's there, you go, Deja. It's pretty good.
Whoosh. Can you turn it up? Whoosh. 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 Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. Whoosh.
Okay, we're saying
whoosh,
in the beginning,
whoosh,
God, Peter sees Jesus,
whoosh,
and he knows it's Jesus, and Jesus tells him to come.
Whoosh,
Peter starts walking toward Jesus with his eyes on Jesus. Everything is great until Peter sees the wind. Life has a way of sending unexpected winds. And sometimes they're loud, sometimes it's and sometimes they shine off that. Just like Peter, it's easy to be strong until you see the wind. All of a sudden you see the wind, Peter is afraid. He looks at the wind and goes down. That's right. It's all right. That's all right. No, right here. And he cries out to Jesus and says, and what the word says is that immediately Jesus gets him out. If anything, why did it? If anything this morning, you're going to remember that botched up kind of acting. One of you going to remember what I was trying to get across. Criticizers are going to remember they could have did better. But you're going to remember something, okay? I need you to remember this morning what God wanted you to remember, okay? Now, when we look at this, is Peter was walking on the water, which his faith is not standing still, okay? Peter could have been standing on the boat, and he could have been saying, man, that's Jesus. I wish I could get over there. He could have just stood there. Man, always. And when Jesus said, come, Peter could have been like the rest of the disciples. He could have looked at the crew and go, ain't nobody moving. Guess I better stay here too. But Peter just didn't have this, I want to, and not do anything, because a lot of times we want to do a lot of things in our life, but we're stuck. And we feel like, God, move me. You know, like this is sometimes our faith is, we hear something or see something in our spirit that God is showing us to do, and we want God to move us. We want to stand there and, you know, I want that job, God. I want that job. God, bring me the job. Bring me the job. God, I want to be married. I want to be married. God, bring me. Now, I'm going to tell you, but faith is moving. You moving toward what you're asking for, toward what God has showed you. Faith is you moving. The problem is a lot of times when God shows us something, it's kind of big. It's kind of like way past what our imagination would. Usually if we can do it, it's not God. Okay? When God shows us something, it means that God has to intervene. When he gives you a vision or something, he has to intervene. You can't do it on your own. And so a lot of times we're just like, God, do it for me. God, we're not moving. We're not doing anything. We're wondering why it's not coming. Because you're still sitting on the couch. Because you're still dreaming. You know, I love dreams. And God has given me great dreams. But when I got up from them dreams, what I dreamed about in my life that has come to pass, I had to do something. I didn't just have a dream and wake up and on my bed, there it was. I wake up and it was manifested. No. When I got up there, I had to move toward what God was showing me. I had to make steps. And sometimes those steps are scary. Sometimes those steps seem like nobody else wanted to go with me. So there's some things in your life that God's going to show you to do that nobody's going to want to go with you. But yet, God showed you, and you're going to have to move past everyone else that's standing still. And that's what Peter had to do. He had to move past those disciples that were still standing on the boat. He says, Lord, Peter was bold enough, he was the only one bold enough to say, Lord, if it's really you, let me come to you on the water. He said, let me come to you on the water. Now, let me tell you, everything is in God. I was about to say, ain't God, and then I looked at you. Everything is in God. And I thought to myself, a lot of times we'll say, God said, God said, God said, and we walk out on things that's not God. But Peter said, if it's you, God. He didn't just get this thought in his head. And he said, if it's you, God, then let me come to you. Let me come to you. And he waited for Jesus. Then after that, he waited for Jesus to do what? Say, come, give him the word. So a lot of times we're thinking something, but has it been verified by Jesus saying, come with it. Come on with that word. Come to me with that. Come. Yes, I have bid you to come. Come. Don't just jump out there, because if right now I could look at this and say, I could jump off this pulpit. Now, in a day, I could. But right now, I could say, I could jump off. I feel like I could jump off this pulpit. But I better know that God said, come, or else Pastor Paul, Pastor Sam, and Pastor Dave got to come pick me up. No matter how much it's in my head, if God doesn't, I remember this one time, my kids, we was at the park, and the tables that's at the park, that, you know, they have the table, and then that bench is hooked to it. So my kids, Monica and them, they did this thing where they would run and jump from the ground and then jump up on the table. It looks so cool to me. And so they're just running and jumping, and, you know, then they run and jump up on the table and run. And I thought to myself, that looks fun. I'm going to do that. Well, needless to say, it was a laughable experience that we'll never forget. The kids were laughing at me so hard because, what, I missed the bench, it hit and fell. But it looked really easy, but God didn't tell me to do that. I just kind of wanted to do it because it looked fun, and I wanted to do it because they were doing it. Now, a lot of times we want to do something. It's in our spirit to want to do something, but that doesn't mean God bid us to come. And we need to wait and hear Jesus say, come. And once Peter heard Jesus say, come, Peter stepped out. He stepped out the boat and he started walking. This morning, some of us in it right now, this very day, we're in a season of stepping out. Some of us are in a season of stepping out in ministry. There's things God's calling us to in ministry. There's things in our purpose that God is calling us to in this very season. There's places of obedience that God has just said, if you would just obey, if you would just step out on this precept or this word of God, if you would just obey. We're in a season that if we would just step out, the moment that fear shows up, we start looking around instead of looking at Jesus. We're in this season, and it's a pivotal. God said this is a pivotal season for our church as a whole and for us individually. It's a pivotal season of stepping out. And as I was just sitting there, God was just showing me different things in different people's lives, different steps that to take them. They're wondering, what's going on? Why is this happening? Where there's different steps of jobs, there's different that's about to open up. You're gonna have to be ready to step out. And sometimes when we're stepping out, we're thinking everybody else is supposed to go. And so if they don't go, we don't go. No. You hear what God says, because God sometimes uses us as a conduit to help build other people's faith. And sometimes you're the person that's going to step out that somebody's going to see, and that's going to ignite their faith, and they're going to be like, whoa. You know, can you imagine when Peter stepped off the boat? When he stepped off. I mean, he stepped off, and he's really standing on the water. I don't know. I just was wondering myself, what was them other disciples thinking? You know, what? Water. You know, I just could imagine that you just didn't have, you know, your best butter on the disciples. He was like, I'm going to do it too. But it didn't say that. It did not say that, did it? Because most of us, even if somebody steps, you're going to have to make 10 steps down that water before I'm going to get out that boat. See, some of us, because why? Because we're not ready. And God hasn't called us to it. And so he steps out and he starts walking. And can you just imagine? It's that because he had his eyes on Jesus, he's looking at Jesus. Because I'm looking at Jesus, and Jesus' feet are planted on the water. And so I'm looking at Jesus. He's still standing. So I should be still standing, right? He's still standing straight up. So I should still be standing. And as long as he looked at Jesus, he was walking. Can you just imagine that thought? He's just walking. But all of a sudden, what got me was, is I thought that the wind just came. I thought I had to go back over the story because I said, did the storm just come up? No, it didn't. There was a storm all along. Yeah. I was thinking, so, you know, what got him? He's walking. He's walking in the storm. It was not like the storm just woo, woo, woo. It was like the storm was before Jesus even got there. They was in a storm. And so there was already a storm. But what calmed the storm was the storm, the one that created it and knew all about it was Jesus. So he had his eyes on the creator of heaven and earth. And when, as long as he had his eyes, it didn't matter what was going on out there. It never matters what's going on out there. If you just can keep your eyes on God, it will not matter what's going on. It can be all wingy, wamy, loud and everything. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And he kept his eyes on the Lord. But all of a sudden, it says the wind got, see, what the enemy hates is when you are solid in your faith and you're determined to keep your eyes on the Lord. Do you know what the enemy has to do? He has to ramp it up a little more. So it says, and the winds became boisterous. They got a little louder. See, the enemy was like, so you're going to keep your eyes on the Lord, huh? So that's what he does with us when we're determined. He says, so you're determined to do that, huh? And he's going to ramp it up. And when he ramped up, it got boisterous. And all of a sudden, he got his eyes off God. And he got his eyes on the storm that was already there from the very beginning. But he got his eyes on the focus. Where's your focus? His perspective and focus turned from Jesus, Savior of the world, to the storm. And once he took his eyes off the Lord, that's when he went down. You guys, there's some things coming up in your life right now. And God wants you to stay fixed. Fixed on what he has showed you. Fixed on what he's telling you. Fixed on where he tells you to go, who he tells you to talk to, what he tells you to grab. God wants you to be fixed. Don't let nobody talk you out of it. Don't you let fear make you shake. God wants you, don't even if they say no. God wants you to stand on what he has said. I mean, he was so emphatic about that, so I didn't know where he's going with that. There's some things in my life, some things in the body of Christ. He kept saying, even if they say no. So I want y'all to get that in your spirit. Even if they say no. If God has showed you, stand on it. Do not move. Do not shake. Don't let their no become the storm. No. Don't let their no become the last word. Don't let their no become your falling out, giving up, going under. No. God says no. Stand. Peter wasn't afraid of the water, you guys. He wasn't afraid of the water. He'd been in the water. That's what he was, a fisherman. He wasn't afraid of the water. He was afraid of the wind. Wind. Isn't it amazing that it's the invisible stuff? Worry, can't see it, but you sure can feel it. Anxiety, can't see it, sure can feel it. Come on. Pressure, you can't see it, but you sure can feel it. Isn't it amazing? It's that invisible stuff that the enemy comes around us when we're trying to do what God says, that invisible stuff, all the pressure. You can't, sometimes you say, I can't put my finger on. Have you ever been, I just can't feel, but I'm just feeling. I can't even say what I'm feeling, but you can't see it. You can't even give a definition sometimes. But it's that stuff the enemy is coming against you with to stop you from doing what God wants you. He's blowing through the shadows of our mind. The shadows that, you know how the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. He's blowing through the shadows. He's just bringing these shadows. You know, shadows can be very scary, and they can loom very, but it's just a shadow, but it can scare us. And God is saying, don't let that happen. Keep your eye on me. How many of you have been there? What I'm talking about. You're doing what God told you to do. You start out, you're doing exactly what God told you to do. But suddenly, the wind starts blowing. People start talking. The bills start piling up. You get bad health report and your health declines. Your peace is disturbed. And now, your focus has shifted. Like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got this. Next thing you know, here comes another shadow. It almost seems like when you're trying to stand and you're trying to go through, boom, something else hits you. Something else you see. Something else you feel. God doesn't want the shadows to get our attention, y'all. He doesn't want our focus to be off of him. But there is a cry, and what I loved about this story is that we look at the story, you know, about Peter's, what we would think was Peter's lack or loss of faith. But what I love about Jesus is that it doesn't matter, even when we're weak or when we lose what we would think would be stoic faith, God only asks one thing, that we would cry out to him. Sometimes that's harder than what you know. Sometimes crying out to Jesus takes, you know, that pride has to go. All that has to, when we're in trouble, isn't it sometimes we're the most quiet. We're the most silent. We don't want anybody to know. So when you cry out to Jesus, that gets heaven's attention. Even though we say he didn't have faith, he had faith. Because faith, he cried out to Jesus. He said, save me, Lord. That was faith right there. There's so much other stuff he could have done. But he cried out to Jesus. When Peter saw the wind, this is what he could have done. When he went down, he could have called back to the boat. He said, hey, are y'all going to come out here and help me sit out a lifeline? He could have, right? He could have tried to swim back. In his own strength. He could have got, like me, started thrashing the water and going crazy. He could have panicked, felt shame, and just accepted, I'm going to drown. Come on. He could have let pride consume him to silence, hoping that help would come from somewhere. Sometimes we're going under and we won't even say help. Not for the first time, not for the second time, but we're going under for the third time and we won't say help. We let pride get in the way and we won't say help. Can you imagine? You can let pride, like all his buddies back there saw old Peter jumping off the boat. Look what happened to Peter. He can let all that go through his head, like I'm so ashamed. Gulp, 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 gulp. And he could have hoped. He could have hoped and said, I hope Jesus don't let me drown. He could have just not cried out to Jesus, but just hoped that when Jesus heard the gurgle enough, Jesus is going to, no. He did not let that pride stand in his way. He didn't try to do anything in and of his own strength, which a lot of times when we're in messes, we will try to add more of our strength, which makes more of a mess. He didn't do that. He let it all go, come on, and he cried out to Jesus. He cried out and he said, Lord, help. He had enough sense to cry out, Lord, save me. And not just, you know, when I say, Lord, help, I like the part that he said, Lord, save me. Salvation comes from the Lord. And he knew it. Lord, save me. And that made all the difference. Sometimes we'll turn to our friends in the midst of sinking. We want them to help us, to tell us. We're going to turn to our finances to get us out of trouble. We're going to Google. Watch that Google thing, because it'll mess you up. Because all of a sudden, yes, I'm telling you, some things are good, but what when you go, I'm talking about go there first. A lot of times we'll go there first. Wait a minute, what's that itch in my ear? Okay, itching ear, what does that mean? We'll go straight to Google to find out what that means, and then there's 50 diagnoses of what it means, and then we're like, yeah, my ear's ringing too, and it does have it. Yeah, I might have. We come into agreement with what Google says. And the next thing you know, you're walking around saying, oh, I know, I don't know this, so don't laugh. I got irritatis, because that's, I don't know a name for a disease, okay? So the next thing you know, you're going, I got irritatis. I know I got irritatis. Google said my ear itches and it's ringing, and that's irritatis. Ooh, I got irritatis. Boy, in a minute, I'm not going to be able to hear anymore. And we just start adding up. We go to all these things. We go to our plans first. Instead of seeking the plans of God, Jesus becomes our rescue line when he should be our anchor from the very beginning. He should be the thing that we're holding on to from the very, is him. But we act like he's second. He's not our backup plan. He shouldn't be our backup plan. He should be the plan. And he shouldn't be our last resort, but our first response. I love that song that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. What? All other ground is sinking sand. The scripture goes on to say that when he cried out and said, save me, I love this. When he cried out and said, save me, because you know what? You can call your friends. They might be busy. They might not even pick up the phone that day. They come out, you know, that you might be calling on a line that's not open, okay? Yeah. But it says that when he called on Jesus and saved me, it says immediately, not after a lecture, not after a delay, but immediately Jesus reached out his hand. When you're going under, it's not the time to be cute. Come on, it's not the time to be, help me please. It's not the time to be cute. It's not, you know, how we don't hardly want to raise our voice or anything like that. It's time to yell out. It's time for your face to get ugly. Come on. It's when we're crying out to the Lord, we're not trying to, when we first came to the Lord, that I don't know, I put that on everybody, but when I first came to the Lord, okay, I was serious. I need help. I didn't care what y'all thought. I was snotting, crying. I was looking ugly. I didn't care if my wig fell out, my teeth fell out. I didn't care. I didn't care. Y'all said, you got on the wig and got flossy. Okay. I knew that caught somebody right there. But I didn't care. I didn't care. Because I wanted Jesus. But now we get so cute. We can hardly clap our hands. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm thinking about what he did for me. I'm thinking about how many times I was in the pit, how many times I was under the ocean, how many times I almost drowned, but for God, but for God, but for God. And no time to be cute. No time, because I don't know when the next test is coming. I don't know when the enemy's going to try to trip me up again. I don't know. I'm going to praise him right now. I'm going to praise him with the best that I got. Because he's been good to me. He's been better to me. He's been better to me than $1 million. He's been better to me than my husband. He's been better to me than the cute dress. He's been better to me than a shop. He's been better to me. And all those things would get emotion out of me. All those things would make me smile and happy and wonderful. Somebody came in here and said, today, wait, let me stop service this morning. Is there a Pastor Linda here? Is there a Pastor Linda here? You have just won Purposeful Clearinghouse. You have $1 million. Y'all, I would not just be going, thank you very much. Thank you. Girlfriend would be down there running toward them with my hand out, screaming to all of y'all, I got $1 million. I got it. But in Christ, it just comes. I just want to thank the Lord today for saving me, from delivering me.
Come on, preacher. Come on, preacher.
And we want to make it, you know, all cute and stuff. But when you was in that pit, it wasn't cute. When we was about to die because of the sin that we put our own selves in, it wasn't cute. It wasn't cute at all. So God wants us to know, wait a minute. Let's remember to cry out. Yeah. Cry out means with everything in me, I'm crying out. I'm about to die. I'm about to go under. I'm about to be done, through, over. Come on, I'm going to cry. Help me. Save me, oh God. Save me, oh God. Sometimes we worry about what other people going to think. Are they going to think we're too loud? Are they going to think we're out of order? Are they going to think? Some people be like, it don't take all that. Irene Jenkins, can you please be quiet? It don't take all that. But if you knew her story, if you knew how many guns to her head, if you knew how many times she was beat, if you knew how many things that happened, you would be hollering to, thank you, God. But a lot of times, we're like, be quiet. We want a dignified praise. But you didn't. A dignified help ain't going to get you out of the thing. No. It's not. You be underwater and be going, the shark got you by now. You better scream. You better say, help. Help me, Lord. Please help me. There was a time in my life when I knew my mind was so out of sorts. All I could do was cry out, help me, God. Because I knew if he didn't come to my rescue, nobody else had to do it. I would have done my own self in. And I thank God that he hears. Heaven hears your cry. Do not let anything or anybody stop your cry out to God. Heaven responds to your cry. Heaven pays attention to your cry. Come on, people may not even know what you're going through. They might not even understand, but cry out to Jesus. Because they can't help you anyway. So cry out to Jesus. Because heaven pays attention. God wants us to have a faith that cries out. Sometimes we want a faith that's stoic. We want a faith that says, I got this. I got it. I can handle this. Got this. How you doing? Blessed and highly favored of the Lord. But we're about to die on the inside. God wants a faith that cries out. Some of y'all have been trying to swim back to the boat. On your own, in your own strength. You're going through things and you're trying to swim back to the boat in your own strength. But the storm is there. You're fighting against the winds and waves. And a lot of times, you know, like when you go in Deception Pass on the top sometimes can look very still. But you get it underneath that undertow, it'll pull you under there, currents that you can't fight against. And some of you are going to, you're trying to go back and swim back. You're in trouble, but you're trying to swim out of it. But the currents and currents is all pulling you, and you're struggling. And what's going to happen when you keep struggling? What happens? You get tired. And that's why so many people die in the water, because they get tired, and they just can't do anything. God doesn't want you trying to swim back on your own. Today, Jesus is not asking you to be strong. He's asking you to be honest. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, we're trying to be so strong. God's not asking us to be strong. He's saying be strong in the Lord. Yeah. Not in your might, not by your might, not by your power, but by his spirit, saith the Lord. He's not asking you to be strong. He's asking you to be honest. And honest says, I can't do this. Lord, save me. Save me. I can't do this. I can't handle this. I can't fix this. I can't change this. I'm going under, God. Yes, I'm going under. Save me. He's asking you to be honest. He doesn't want you to drown in silence. He wants you to cry out. Here are a few reference scriptures that highlight the benefits and power of crying out to God. Showing his immediate response. His immediate delivery and his immediate faithfulness. God is an attentive and responsive God. In Psalms 34 and 17, it says this: when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their distress and trouble. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. And he delivers them out of all their distress and trouble. In the Message Bible for that, it says, is anyone crying for help? I love that one because that brought it home today to us. Is there anyone in here crying for help? Are you sitting here just going through? Are you sitting here? Are you hurting? Are you in distress? Are you scared? God said, is there anyone crying for help? Can I hear a help? All I need to do is hear a help, God said. He said, you're sitting, you came here for a reason this morning. You're in this place for a purpose this morning. God said, because I wanted you to know that I am waiting to hear your cry for help, and I will come immediately. You're sitting here and your mind is wrecking. What can I do? How can I do that? How can I build this part of my business? How can I get more money? How can I do this? How can? And God is saying, all I'm asking you to do is shut that mind down and cry out. You know, there's times I've been sitting on my chair. I love to sit in the living room, and I love to just start praying in the Holy Ghost about things that I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle it. And I've been to walk around the house, you know. Have you ever just start talking to yourself? Like, I don't know why, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to. Have you ever done that? Y'all don't talk to yourself? Well, I talk to myself. So I'm walking around, I'm talking, and all of a sudden it comes to me like, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what to do, and all I'm doing is putting myself in further dither because I'm more upset. I go sit on the couch, and I start speaking in tongues. And I just put my head back, and I start. And do you know God will give me the remedy? Give me the answer. Show me how to do it. Show me how to say it. But all he's waiting for is us to come to him. God is like, you know how you try to help your child tie their shoe or do something, that's hard. And they're trying to do not something that they can't do, but something that they can't do. And you're watching them, and they, no, 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 no. I can do it. I can do it. You're sitting there, you're not doing it right. I can do it. I got it. I got it. I got it. And you as a parent, after a while, you just stand there because they're not letting you intercede. And then you just stand there. And finally, when the child, mine would be after, I had some real stubborn ones. And after a while, they go, Mom, can you show me how to do it? And I'm like, there we go. Now I can show you. Because you try to show somebody who's not ready to receive, they're not going to receive. So sometimes God just stands back, but he's waiting for you to get in a posture of receiving. Because if you're not in a posture to receive, no matter what he says, you're not going to receive it. But when you get in that posture, save me, help me, God goes, okay, daughter. Okay, son. Here it is. Here's the answer. I have it. In the Message Bible, it says, is anyone crying for help? God is listening, and he's ready to rescue you. God is listening this morning, and he's ready to rescue you. Even when we're in deep distress, our cry reaches God's ears. In Psalms 18:6, it says, in my distress, when seemingly closed in, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. He heard my voice out of the temple, heavenly dwelling place, and my cry came before him into his very ear. What's so powerful about that is that it says that he heard my cry.
Yeah.
Now, I love this. It says he heard my cry, my voice of his temple. All these cries going out to God. This is what I love about our God. All of us, if we all start crying out to God, he would hear your cry.
Yes. Yes.
That's one. I hear you, Juan.
Yes.
Come on. That's Elder Willie. That's my son, Elder Willie. I hear. Come on, that's my son, Sam. Out of all our cries, he will distinguish our voice. And you, isn't that so? You know how sometimes we can't even answer the one. It'd just be one in the house. We can't hear. We can't answer. But God hears it all. In Psalms, in that same thing in the Message Bible, it says, a hostile world. Think about it. That's what we're living in right now. A hostile world. I call to God. I cry to God to help me. From the palace, he hears my call. My cry brings me right into his presence. A private audience. Y'all, can y'all think about that? That when I call, with whatever I'm going through, it can be messy, crazy, or what, I have a private audience.
Yeah.
We're all in the same room, but when I call, Juan doesn't know what I'm calling about. God knows. I have a private audience with God. All of us. And he hears us all. And he knows. What? That is such an amazing thing that we have in our life, to call on the name of Jesus. And he's not going to run around and tell nobody. Come on. Crying out to God invites God's rescue, and it leads us to worship. In Psalms 50:15, it says this, and call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor and glorify me. When he helps us, he gets the glory. Because when he helps, it's really help. We can call on other things and other people and be messed up even more. And no glory will come out of it. It'll look worse than what it started. But God said, when you call on me in the day of trouble, I'm going to help you, and you'll honor me, because how I help you will bring you out a winner at the finishing line. And it will honor me. So thankful for God putting this in my spirit. Right now, I just want us all to stand. And I want you to think about these questions. Are you dealing in any area of your life with the wind of fear? Just think about it. Any area of your life right now, are you feeling overwhelmed? Like just coming in. And are you walking in faith but sinking in doubt? Right now, this is your cry out moment. Today, this moment that you came, this is your cry out moment. God doesn't want you to miss your immediately. There is something that I want you to say, get in your spirit, is that we're going to have to be able to meet the wind, to get out of meeting the wind in fear, because there comes a time where what used to make you afraid will not make you afraid anymore. But you've got to meet that fear with the Word of God. And if we don't get that Word of God so ingrained into our very spirit, so that when the winds come, we have something beyond fear to meet it. Now understand it, fear is going to come. So the first thing is to know that God honors help, save me. He honors that. Second thing to know is that he doesn't always want us to be afraid of the same thing. And so there comes a time where God, he wants us to get over that fear of that thing. And the only thing that's going to do that, I was thinking about something last night. Thinking about how when Reverend Paul, every time he writes anything, at the end of it, he tells us to be of good courage. Anytime Reverend Paul writes, at the end, I know he is going to exhort me with that word, be of good courage. And so every time I read that, it's coming back into my spirit. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. That's not just a Reverend Paul quote. That is a word of God, scripture. It's a word. It's powerful. And so every time Reverend June, she's been doing the same thing with the sisters to, how do you say, keep loving, right? Keep loving. She's exhorting us as the women to keep loving one another. Every time you read, at the end of it, so when you read that, it's very important because it says faith comes by hearing by the word of the Lord. So the more that we keep hearing and repeating, it's what's going into our spirit. You guys, it's so important. It's so important to get this word so into us that it's our first response. It's, you know, okay, help. I got that down. Now what's going to be my word response? But if I don't have no word in my pantry, if I go to reach and there's nothing in my pantry, you know, nothing's worse than you got your meal together and you go to reach for a vegetable. There's nothing in the cabinet, you know? You got to go to the store to get it. That's not going to help. It's going to waste time. So the thing is, you don't want to waste time. When you're going under, you ain't got time to waste. So the thing is, you need to have some word in you. And what I'm bringing this up because it is something, find the word that God is constantly putting in your spirit. Find that word and start using that word until that word is just ingrained. For me, it was through this whole season of blindness, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I say that almost 3, 4, 5 times a day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear, because I was afraid when I couldn't see. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Because at first I was saying, I will fear blindness. But then I said, that's not what God said. Fear the condition. God said, no, fear what the enemy's trying to say, because you're blind, something evil can happen to you. No, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I will keep saying that. I will fear no. Find your word for your season. And get that. For this season, there's going to be a word that God's got planted in you. Find that word and get that word so ingrained in you so that when the enemy comes and the winds blow, you got to just peace be still. Like God told him, tell the winds and the waves. He said, tell them, peace be still. Find your word so that you're ready, because you're going to have to be ready. You can't be getting ready, okay? You got to be ready when the enemy comes, ready with the word, ready to stand on the word, ready to believing in that word. Find that word so that you can say that word. This is our cry out moment. God doesn't want us to miss it. That immediately that he wants to do. So right now, if there's anybody right now that's feeling overwhelmed, remember I said, somebody says, well, I'm saying save me at my seat. But remember what I said, get out the boat, please. Get out the boat. Faith is movement. It's not just saying, it's movement. Get out the boat so the enemy knows that you mean business. I'm walking on this thing that's been making me afraid. I'm going to walk on it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now. I thank you for the immediately right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you know, you see, and you know all. Now I want in your mind, don't be vague and thoughtless. Don't be like, I'm overwhelmed. Where are you overwhelmed? Put that in your mind. Where are you overwhelmed? That place is causing you fear. That place is causing a lack of peace, a lack of sleep, put it in your mind right now, right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, they have walked off the boat. They are believing your word this morning, God. And Father, as you have promised that when we say, save me, God, that heaven attention is on each and every one that is standing here, God. And Father, you're immediately reaching out to them, God, to bring peace to that situation, to bring strength to that situation, God, to bring deliverance to that situation, God. Oh, God, they're not going to drown because they're reaching out to you, God. They're reaching out to the one who is the Savior of the world, God. And God, right now we pray as we stand in faith, and as they have moved towards you, God, you are moving toward them with all power and all authority in the name of Jesus, God. Let everything that is troubling them, God, be troubled by you. Cease to trouble them anymore. God, we thank you for this word today, God. And God, in spite of the wind, in spite of the wind, God, we will stand. In spite of the wind, we will do what you called us to do. In spite of the wind, we shall not be moved from where you told us to go. God, in spite of the wind, Lord, in spite of the wind. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Now you guys are just walking on the water now. You're walking on the water. Just you're walking on the water of your circumstance. You're walking on the water. And hear what I'm saying. You're walking on the water. You've given Jesus something today, and you're walking on it. But remember what I also said. The enemy said, so you're walking on the water. So the enemy is going to try to bring up something to stop you. I've already warned you. I've already told you. But you are going to go home, and you're going to get a word. A word. I already heard what you was going to do to me, Satan, but I got a word for you. And you just stand right back up, and you keep on walking toward what God would have you. This morning, also, if there's anybody in the house, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, oh, come on, right now, that's the most important thing of all, to give your life to the Lord, to the Savior, to the great, as we were singing this morning, I am. If you haven't given your life to him this morning, just come on up and we will pray with you. And to give your life and recognize in our lives we are sinners. Without Christ, we need him to save us. That's the first place we need saving, is from our sins. And so this morning your sins might seem, the enemy likes to make our sins seem so big, so great. God, you can't save me. Look what I did. Look what I've done. That, oh, no, 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 no. God saves us all. And he knows. And he wants to. He got up on that cross because he wants to save us. And so just please, this morning, don't let a day go by. Another day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart and come to the Lord today. Even today, you might have walked away from the Lord, and today you just felt the unction to come back. You may be wounded, upset with the church, upset with church people, all those things that make us back up. But remember, don't back up on God because of a building or people. You knew before you got here that you couldn't put your trust in people. It's our trust in God. That's what we come for, our trust in God. All of us in here got something that can hurt one another. All of us. But if we keep holding on to God and trusting in God, he is making us new. In fact, he says we are new. Once we come to him, we are new. We are new creatures. Oh, come on. Let's give each other grace to be new. Okay? Let's give each other the grace to be new. But let's give God the trust to be who he says he is. And let him just move in our life. So if you walked away another invitation is to come back home. Come on back home. It says all heaven just do a party over you coming back home. Come on, let's get a party in heaven, all right? All heaven rejoices over one that would come back home. And so this morning, we set those invitations before you to come home, to be a part of. If you don't have a church home, we also believe that you must be planted. We believe it because the word says it. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. So let's get planted, okay? Analogy, here's a plant, here's a dirt, and there's the plant over there. The plant's looking pretty green, but if it don't get in that dirt and get planted, it won't be green for long, okay? So let's come on, let's get into the pot and get planted, all right? So that we can get watered, fed, and grow. So if you haven't got into a church home, we invite you to come up and be a part of Living Faith Christian Center. If today, you know, you're just checking out churches and looking to see where you can belong, you can ask us. We know some good churches that we can tell you about, all right? Some other churches that you can check out, okay? But let me tell you this. Don't check out too long because we don't know what day or hour the Lord's coming. Come on, we need to check in, okay? And God, if we ask him, he will give us wisdom. So we thank God. I thank God, Lord. I pray as I close out over everyone that is standing here, God. God, you brought this word because of we're at crossroads in our lives. Many of us are at crossroads of decisions, God. And God, you're telling us what to do, but it seems too big, too large. Who's going to help us? How's this going to be? Oh, God, you have said, come. God, let us keep our eyes on you, God, and let us come. Let us not miss out on the blessing that you have over our life out of fear, God, just anxiety, God. We come because you said come in Jesus' name. And we thank you in advance, God, for the new heights, new levels, new places that you are taking us to. We thank you right now. We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Minister Kathy.
Thank you, Pastor Linda. Thank you for that word. On time, amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Praise. Go ahead. He deserves it. Father, you're worthy. And we thank you.